Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the third of the widest lines on Daf Yud Ches. You'll see it approximately halfway down the page. If you prefer, you can count 24 lines from the top. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, Kora al Peh lo Yotza. If one reads the Gemara, Megillas Esther by heart, so he does not fulfill his requirement. Minolan, from where do we know this? Omar Rava, Asya Zechira Zechira. We come to this conclusion through a word comparison. Ksiv Hocha, Vayomim Hoele Nizkorim. That's written in the Megillah Esther. Uksiv Hosom, Ksov Zos Zikaron Basefer. So you have this other pasuk in Shmois, the end of Parshas Bishalach, where you also have the word Zikaron. Just like in Megillah, you have the word Nizkorim. Ma lahalon basefer, just like over there in Shmois it says basefer, from a text, from a written text, afkan basefer, so too, when it comes to the Megillah's Esther, it is not oral, not by heart, but rather through a text. In other words, there is, of course, one reads it orally, but he's reading from a text. Omimai dahai zechira kriyahi. How do you know that when the Torah says, Ksov zo zikoron basefer, that zikoron is a reference to reading. Dilmo iyun bialmo. Maybe it means just looking into it, studying it. Lo salka daitoch. No, the word zechira does not mean just looking and studying it, but it means actual reading. Tesanya. The posuk says in Dvorim, Perek Chof Hei, posuk Yud Zayin, Zohor. Zohor asher oso l'cha molek. Remember is the literal translation. But what does that mean? Yochob alev, does that mean only by thinking about it? About thinking about the event? Keshu omer lo sishkach. When in Pasuk Yutes, it says, do not forget. Hare shichas alev omor. So lo sishkach means do not forget. So I understand that the idea of remembering, internal remembering, is dealt with already by Pasuk Yutes. Ho mani mekayim zohor. So what does the word zohor mean? The command to do that, to remember. If it means remember, don't forget, that's already included in Pasuk Yutes. So what does zohor mean? Bepe means an actual pronunciation, an oral. So it has to do then reading. And as we saw in the Pasuk in Shmos, you're going to be reading from a text. And hence, in the Megillas Esther also, where it says, Vayomim Hoelo Nizkorim, it means reading from a text. Kora Targum Lo Yotza. Hey Chidomi, what's the case here of reading it Targum? Targum means reading it Aramaic. The Aramaic represents the explanation of the original Hebrew text. Hechidomi, in lemo deksiva mikro vikori lo targum. If it refers to someone who is holding a Megillas Esther written in Hebrew, and he reads it in Aramaic, hainu al peh. So what he is doing is something that's by heart, and we already said that reading by heart is not, one does not fulfill his requirement. Because after all, what's written in front of him is not that which he is reciting. He is saying it in Aramaic, and that which is written in front of him is something else. It's Hebrew. So is this not this, would that not be the same as reading it by heart? Sure it is. And that we already said, you're not Yotze. So why do you have to tell it to me again over here in Tokoro Targum Lo Yotze? Lo Tzricha. No. The case, the Mishnah is necessary, Diksiva Targum, Vikori lo targum, where the Megillah is actually written in Aramaic, and he's reading from that. And the Mishnah tells us that he is not Yotze. Now, the Mishnah said, Koro b'chol lashon lo yatsa. The Mishnah also says, Avol korin osa loyazos belavs, that you can read the Megillah to loazos, people who speak foreign tongues, and you can read it in a foreign tongue. So the Mishnah that says, Avol korin osa loazos, the Gemara asks, V'ho amris koro b'chol lashon lo yatsa. But the Mishnah already said that if you read it in any other language, you are not Yotzei. Now, before we go any further, we should point out the marking scheme in these in this Gemara. Just scan ahead in the next few lines, and you see the geometric form that we call the volcano shape, or if you prefer the trapezoid, you will notice that it appears in alternating directions as we go on. So on the side of the Gemara we have an Osei, a topic heading, Mosai Yoitzim Beloy Aziz. When is one in fulfillment of the Megillah reading if he does it in a foreign tongue? The under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, the volcano shape is featured, and we explain this is a ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of a give and forth style Gemara. So with the narrow part of the volcano shape facing upwards, this represents kushios, questions. The inverted volcano, tshuvos, responses. In addition to that, you'll also notice that we use a double underlining to highlight the name Omer of Acha, Omer of Elazar. We also have Roman numerals 1 and 2. These indicate tirutzim lahasbir mishnosenu, answers to explain our Mishnah. So you'll see a Roman numeral number 1 immediately after where we're holding in the Gemara, and then you'll skim down a few lines later and you'll see a Roman numeral number 2 that represents the second answer to explain our Mishnah. So we start with a question. The question being, did you not say Koro b'chol lashon lo yatsa? So how can the Mishnah say that if you read it to foreign speakers in a foreign tongue, they're yotzei? Rav Ushmuel Gamri Travaihu, Rav and Shmuel both answer, Belaz Yevoni, when the Mishnah says Avo Korin Oisa Belaz, Belaz, it is a reference to reading it in Yevoni, in Greek. Before we go further, you'll note that we have a bracketed section, and the starred note on the side reads as follows. So, Graim Lishem Dilug, the brackets are here for skipping purposes initially. Kedei Lahatsmid Kushas HaMesve L'Rav Shmuel, in order to connect the Mesve question that follows the brackets on that which Rav and Shmuel just answered. So we had, structurally in the Gemara, we have they're giving an answer, and on their answer, the Gemara will raise a question, and that's the Mesve that follows the brackets. Besocha Sograim Mevor Beize Tenoim Muter Yevonis, under what conditions Yevonis is acceptable. That will be in the bracketed section. So now, that having been said, what we're going to do is initially just skip the brackets for a moment. We saw Rav and Shmuel said that if it's read in Greek, in Yevoni, so that is the section of the Mishnah that said that Koron Oysol L'Laz is Belaz. If you read it to foreign speakers in their language, it means specifically Greek. Now, we skip the brackets. Mesvei. Koro giftis ivris ilmis modis yevonis lo yotza. Now all you have to do here is just follow the markings, the dash underlining emphasis. It says in this source that reading it yevonis lo yotza. So that's a direct question on what Rav and Shmuel said. So the Gemara will then give an answer to that question as the Gemara unfolds later. But now let's go back to the bracketed section. Rav and Shmuel said that if you read it Belaz Yevoni, so Yotze, you are in fulfillment. Hechi domi, ilemo deksivo Ashurus v'kori lo Yevonis. If you're talking about a Megillah that's written in Hebrew, Ashurus is a reference to the language Hebrew that we are familiar with, written in Hebrew letters, as they say, we're familiar. V'kori lo Yevonis, and he's pronouncing it in Greek. In other words, once again, you have a Hebrew text, and he is saying it in Greek. Hainu al peh. That's reading it orally, by heart. And we say, regarding that, you're not yotzei. So what is Rav and Shmuel talking about? Omar Rav Acha, Omar Rav Elazar, Sheksuva Belaz Yevonis. You have a Megillas Esther that's written in Greek, and he's reading it in Greek, and that's what they, and that is yotzei. Now, we have an internal bracketed section, this angular brackets, and Sograyim Elu, the note on the side says, the double starred note, Sograyim Elu, Marim the Ein Kesher Yoshir Litochanam Elo Shezu Od Memra Shel Rav Acha Omar Rav Elazar. The brackets show that there's no direct connection between what's contained within and that which we just read, other than the fact that it's the same name. So let's continue with this angular brackets. The Omar Rabbi Acha Omar Rabbi Elazar Minayin Shikora Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyakev El. From where do we know that the Almighty referred to our patriarch Jacob by the word El, which is interestingly usually a name of the Almighty, and then we would pronounce it as Kael, so as not to simply say the name of the Almighty in a direct fashion. But here we're saying that the Almighty called Yaakov by that term. Where do we see that? Shenamar. The pasuk says in Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel, Vayikra lo El, Elo Ke Yisrael. De I Saka Daitoch, the Mizbeach Kora le Yaakov El. If you're going to think as the context of the pasuk might indicate, that it was Yaakov Avinu calling the Mizbeach, the altar that he erected by that word, then the Loshon, the expression of the Pasuk, should have read the Vayikra Loy Yankiv Miboyale, that Yankiv called it the Mizbeach by the word El. Elo Vayikra Lo Le Yankiv El. Rather, the explanation is that he, yet Jacob, Yankiv was called El, Umikoro El, and who called him that? Elokei Yisrael, the Almighty. So when you go back to the Pasuk, once again, just the line just above, Ayikro Lo Kael, he, the Almighty, called, that he was, he, Jacob, Yankiv Avinu was called El, and who called him that? Elokei Yisrael. Continuing in the Gemara, we have our question on Rav and Shmuel. Meisve, Kora, Giftis. These are different languages. Giftis, Ivris, Ilmis, Modis, Yevonis, Lo Yotze. We have to emphasize here is that reading the Megillah in Yevonis, one does not fulfill his requirement. That's a question on Rav and Shmuel, who said that you do. The Gemara answers, Ha, that which Rav and Shmuel said, that reading it Yevonis, you are Yotze, Lo Damyo, Elo, Ha, is similar to that which you find in the following source. Again, we have languages and names of people. Giftis legiftim. If you're in the giftis language for the giftim people, Ivris leivrim, Ilmis leilmin, Yevonis leyevonim, Yotza. And here we emphasize, again with our dashed underlining, if you read it in Greek, for Greeks, so then you are Yotze. But if you're going to read it in Greek for non-Greeks, so then, as the source said just the line above, you're not Yotze. And Rav and Shmuel, we're talking about this case. Ihachi, the Gemara asks, if that be the case, then Rav Ushmuel, Amai Mukmi Lo Lemasnisen Belaz Yevonis. Our Mishnah said that if you read it, the Megillah, for foreign tongue people, for foreigners, so then they are Yotze. If you once again, the Mishnah had said, "Kora leloy azus belaz," so they are yotze. They could have set up the Mishnah in any language, as long as you're reading it for people that understand that language. So the explanation that we saw in Roman numeral number 1, namely Rav and Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah, seems to be lacking. Elo, hence Roman numeral number 2, Masnisin Kebraisa. the Mishnah that said, Korin Oso Lelo'azos Belaz is like the Braisa said, Giftis Legiftim, Ivris Livrim, etc. If you're reading it for people of that tongue, so then they are Yotzei. That's as far as the explanation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah can go like the Braisa. V'chi Itmar de Rav Shmuel, and that which Rav and Shmuel said, Be'almo Itnamhar. They said it in a vacuum, or not as a commentary on the Mishnah, but they said it as an independent, Ba'alma, we can say an independent statement. Rav Shmuel, the Amir Travayu, Laz Yevoni, reading it in Greek, Lakol Kosher. Now that's a big Chiddush. That would mean that it's suitable for everybody. The Gemara asks, V'hokotoni Yevonis Liyevonim, in Lekulei Alma Lo, but the source that we read just two lines above said that if you read it for you read Yevonis for Yevonim, you read it in Greek for Greeks, then there's fulfillment. But for everyone else, no. In Hu Di Omar, the Gemara answers, they Rav and Shmuel that suggested otherwise, that Greek a Greek reading for everyone is kosher. In Hu Di Omar Rav Shmuel Gamliel, they follow the Tanaic opinion of Rav Shmuel Gamliel, the Snan. Rav Shmuel Gamliel loimer af sforim lo hitiru sheyichtevu elo yevonis. Rav Shmuel says that even other scrolls, other books, cannot be read other than in Greek. So what we see from here is that Rav and Shmuel are based on a Tanaic source that says, and hence this source can stand up against the other source that says that Greek is limited to the Greeks. Rav Shmuel Leah will tell you that Greek is suitable for everybody. Question: V'leimru halacha k'Rav Shmuel Leah? Why don't Rav and Shmuel just say that halacha is like him? Why do they say it in a as an independent statement that Laz Yevoni Lakol Kosher? The Gemara answers, E Amri Halacha Shmuel Gamliel, if Rav Shmuel would have said that the Halacha follows Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Have Amino, I would have thought, Hani Mili Sha'ar Sforim. That's a reference to other holy works. Avol Megillah, Dechsibo Kiksavam, Eino Emolo. But in the Megillah, where you see the word Kiksavam, which might have indicated as it is written, and namely in the original. So I would have thought that even Greek is excluded. Komash Molon, so by Rav and Shmuel in their independent statement that says that La Zivoni La Kol Kosher is coming to preclude thinking that Kiksovim would exclude the Greek, and rather Rav and Shmuel tell you that Greek is good for everybody, even for non-Greek speakers. V'aloyez sheshoma ashuris yotza. We also taught in the Mishnah that someone was a foreigner who hears the Megillah in its original Hebrew is yotze. The Gemara asks, v'holo yoda maiko amri, but he doesn't understand what they're saying. He doesn't speak Hebrew. He doesn't understand the language. So how can you tell me that he is in fulfillment? The Gemara answers, midi dehave a Noshim, the Aleph is a prefix, it's not the basic word. It's like in Hebrew you say al, midi dehave al, noshim the ame horetz. Similar to the way of women, and when the Gemara is speaking about women, it is referring to those who were generally speaking uneducated, were not familiar with Hebrew. They were familiar with their own local tongue, and Ame Oretz, people also that are unlearned, the ignoramuses, they go to shul on Purim, they listen to the Megillah, they don't understand it, but they are Yotzei. So that we have precedent for people who don't understand, as long as they're hearing it in the original Hebrew, and they are Yotzei. Maskifo Ravina. Ravina, he asks it seems that he's asking on this response of paralleling Ashuris, and even if you don't understand it, to the case of women Amoretz, when in fact Otu Ravina asks Otu Anan Hachshterona Bnei Haramochem Miadinon. These words Hachshterona Bnei Haramochem, they appear in Megillas Esther. Do we know what those words mean? No, we don't. Even educated people don't know what those words mean. So the question will still come around, so that how are you Yotzei if you're reading words that you don't understand? Ela mitzvas kriya upirsume nisa. Rather, the mitzvah of the Megillah is to read it and thereby accomplish the popularizing or the promulgation, the publicizing of the miracle. So Hochanami, so too with regard to someone who doesn't understand and listens to it in Hebrew, one who doesn't understand Hebrew but hears it, mitzvas kriya upirsume nisa. Now Rashi adds a little bit of explanation. Upirsume nisa afal pi she'ein yoidin ma sheshamin. Rashi says that even though they don't understand what they are hearing, shorlim es hashomin, they will ask others that are hearing it. The omrim mahi hakriyo hazu, and they will explain what is being read. The eichoy hanes, and how the miracle took place. Humodiin lohen, and they inform them that way, so that the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah is accomplished this way. As long as you are reading it from the original text, even if you don't understand it, that does not that doesn't prevent the fulfillment of the mitzvah. When, after all, the mitzvah is essentially a reading and then a publicizing of the miracle. That will be accomplished even if the listener doesn't understand the original Hebrew. Koros sirugin yotza v'chule. Before we go further in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a marking scheme, and on the side under the Nosei, Mivneh heading, the Nosei is the topic heading, Mivneh the structural note, where we've combined them into one note. The double underline represents the expression, or it highlights the expression, Lo Havu Yadi Rabbonan. The Rabbonan didn't know, and then that will be followed each time by a house shape. This is a Sidra, a series, Shel Milim, of words, Shepirusham Lo Hoyu Yiduim L'Rabbonan. Words that weren't known by the rabbis. They were unusual words. They weren't part of the standard vocabulary. So many rabbis didn't know what these words meant. And Rubam Pirshum Amso Debei Rebbe. Many of them, we will find, are explained by the maidservant in Rebbe's house. Rebbe was Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. He had a maidservant that was familiar with these words, and through her they discovered the meanings. Now, very simply, because our Mishnah used the word sirugin, the Gemara comments, Lo havu yadi rabbonon, my sirugin. The Talmidim of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi didn't know what that word meant. Now, when we learned the Mishnah, we pointed out that of course, we are familiar with the word only because of all the learning that has taken place since, but it meant for us, the Megillah was read in gaps. There was some reading, then a gap, a pause, and then reading it later, again with a pause in that fashion. Well, at that time, Rabbana didn't know what the word Sirugin meant. Shamua Lamsa de Bei Rebbe, they heard Rebbe's handmaid, Deko Omra Lahu Lerabonon Dav Aili Paski Paski Lebe Rebbe. She was addressing the students that, or the rabbis that were entering Rebbe's house in segments. Paski Paski means little by little, a small group, and then another group. And bear in mind, we're talking about people entering his house. They were going to join. They were eating their meals over there. Rebbe was a very wealthy man. He apparently supported many people. And they came in, and she had to wait on them. She had to serve the meals. And when people come in drips and drabs, it poses a difficulty to those who have to wait on them. So she said, Ad mosai atem nichnosim sirugin sirugin. How long are you going to continue this practice of entering sirugin sirugin? So when she said sirugin, and they realized that they had been entering paski paski in small groups, one group, but not as one large group altogether, but in a small groups means small group, then a gap in time, and then another small group. They would enter in a hesitating or in a broken fashion like that, making it difficult for her to wait on them. So they understood by virtue of the fact that she used the expression sirugin, what the word meant. Lo havu yadi rabbonon mai chalug loy gois. They Rabbona didn't know what that was. It's a type of vegetation. Shamuel Amsa de Bei Rebbe, the Omrole Lahu Gavro, Daviko Mivadir Parfachini. They heard the handmaid of Rebbe saying to some man who was Mivadir is to scatter Parfachini. Rashi gives a French word for that. Ad mosai ato mefazer chalug loygecha. How long is it? How long are you going to scatter your chalug loygus? So now the Rabbana knew what parfachini were. Rashi gives a French word, but by the virtue of the fact that they saw a man scattering parfachini, and the Amsa de Rebbe used the word chalug loygus as referring to that, so they knew what chalug loygus were. Lo havu yadi rabbonan mai. They didn't know the meaning of this word in the pasuk salsalah usrom mecha shamuha leamser de Rebbe. Now the pasuk itself is a reference to it's a description of people who study or are preoccupied with Torah. But what exactly does salsalah mean? So they heard the handmaid of Rebbe davis amra. Omro lahu gavro, she was saying to some fellow, Tafe mahapech bemazi, he was flipping up his hair. Omro lay, and she said to him, Ad mosayato mesalsel bisarecha. Now here you see the word mesalsel, and they saw what she was addressing, this fellow who was fondling or flipping up his hair, and they then applied that to the pasuk of salsel sarmecha, which now means that he who, while he's studying Torah, he flips it around and searches over and over again, that will yield great results while you're learning Torah. Lo havu yadi rabbonon mai hashlech al Hashem Yehovecha. Again, you have a word in a pasuk that they were not familiar with. What does the word Yehovecha mean? Now here we're not going to have an explanation from the Amsa de Rebbe, but Omar Rabo bar Barachano, Zimno chado hava azilno bahadi ahutaya. Once I was walking along with an Arab. Taya is an Arab. V'kodarino tuna, and I was carrying a package. The Omarli and the Arab said, Shkol Yehovecha v'shodi agamloi. Take your, now you see the word Yehovecha, which in this context you see means take your burden and cast it upon my camel. In other words, why do you have to bother straining yourself when you can put it on my camel and have an easier trip? So from this, from the Arab's use of the word Yehovecha, we then understood the word that appears in the Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, cast upon Hashem your burdens and He will take care of you. Lo havu yadi rabbonan mai v'tei teisiha b'matatei hashmeid. So again, a Pasuk with an unclear word. Shamuel of Tzuduri Rebbe, tavis omer l'chaverta. So they heard her saying to her friend, Shkuli tatisa v'tate besa. Take your broom and sweep out the house. So from the fact that she used the word tatisa, that helped them understand the meaning of that Pasuk. It has to do with being swept out. Tonu Rabbonan. Koros Sirugin Yotza. If one reads the Megillah in with gaps, he is in fulfillment of his requirement. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Sirusin Lo Yotza. But reading it Lemafreya, reading it backwards, you're not Yotze. Rabbi Muna Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Af Besirugin. Even with the gaps that the Tanakama, that the first opinion said, your Yotzei Rabbi Muna qualifies this. He says, "In shaha kedei ligmor es kula choser larosh." If during the gap the pause was long enough to finish the whole thing, then you have to go back to the beginning. Omer of Yosef halacha k'Rabbi Muna shomer mishum Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Yosef rules like the more strict opinion that a gap could present a problem if it's shoh kidei ligmor es kula. Omer le Abaye the Rav Yosef kidei ligmor es kula, that expression that the gap was enough time to finish the whole thing. Mehecha dekoi l'seifa, does that mean from the point that he is holding now till the end, oidilmo me reisha l'seifa, or does it mean from the beginning to the end? So when we say if you waited enough time to finish the whole thing, what again does that mean? The whole thing from where you are to the end? which is going to be a lesser amount of time than from the beginning to the end. Omale, Rav Yosef says, me resha b'seifa. The pause that Rabbi Muna would say, you have to go back to the beginning, is a pause that would be enough time to finish the entire Megillah from beginning to end. The Im Kain, if you're not going to say that, Nosato Devorecha L'Shiurim, then the halacha becomes very relative. Shiur means a different amount for each different case. We like to have standard measures when we state halacha, so that if Rabbi Muna is saying Shaw Kidei Ligmor is Kula, the Kula has to be of a standard nature, which would mean something constant from beginning to end, not something relative. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Omar Rav. Halacha k'Rebbi Muna. Now take note, and we have actually a structural note on the side, Roman numerals 1 through 3. We'll see in the next few lines of Gemara, Gimel Lashonos, P'psikosim Shel Rav Ushmuel Lagabi Kriya B'Sirugin. We'll see three different Lashonos in presenting Rav and Shmuel with regard to the reading of the Megillah in gaps. And we have, of course, the Tanakamo and Rabbi Muna. And now, this is a psak related Gemara. Three different versions, though. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Omar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Ushmuel Omar ein halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Basura masnu hachi. This was the surah way of presenting the opinions. B'pubadisa masnu hachi. In Pubadisa, they teach it this way. Omar Rav Kahana, Omar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Muna. Now contrast this with Rav before, where he said halacha k'Rabbi Muna, but who introduced Rav? In the number one version, Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba introduced Rav. In this number two version, Rav Kahana introduces Rav, and saying halacha k'Rabbi Muna, Shmuel Emar, ain halacha k'Rabbi Muna. But as far as what Rav and Shmuel themselves say, these two Lishonos, number one and two, are the same, where Rav is saying Valchus HaGrabi Muna, and Shmuel is saying it is not like him. Rav Beivai Masni Ipcha. Now Rav Beivai, he teaches the Rav and Shmuel as what their ruling is in an opposite fashion. Rav Omar Ein Halacha HaGrabi Muna. Now contrast this Rav with the two previous references to Rav. You see, this is the opposite. Rav is saying halacha is not like Rabbi Muna, and Shmuel Omar halacha k'Rabbi Muna. And Shmuel here is presented as ruling more stringently, namely like Rabbi Muna. Now we have a point. We call this a long point. Omar of Yosef, Nikot de Rav Beivai Biyodoch. Accept the Rav Beivai approach. Now, what was unique about Rav Beivai's approach? He presented Rav as being lenient and Shmuel as being stringent, and that this approach, the Rav Beivai approach, is the more likely approach. Why? The Shmuel who the Chayish liyachido. We find Shmuel who takes into consideration individual opinions. When we speak about individual, in our case, we're talking about Rabbi Muna. He's going up against a majority opinion of the Rabbonan. However, Shmuel will take into consideration a minority opinion when that minority opinion represents a stringency as opposed to the majority who were lenient. Now, so where do you see Shmuel taking up the minority opinion when it is the stringent one? That's in the Rav Beivai presentation, where Shmuel is presented as paskening like Rabbi Muna, who was, of course, the stringent one, saying that Sirugin could be a problem in Shal Kedei Ligmor Eskula. Now, where do we see Shmuel taking up the minority opinion when it is a Chumrah? Disnan. So we have a source. We have a Tanaic source. Following the frame source, you see Omar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Shmuel is going to be ruling like the stricter opinion. Now, truth be told, we have a topic that's totally unrelated to the rules of the halachas of Megillah. It's from the topic of Yevomis. So we'll try to give a brief explanation of this topic. However, if it's not clear, have no fear. Amir Tzeshem will be zeicha to learn Maseches Yevomis together, and there these will be discussed at greater length. But what you do eventually have to note here is that Shmuel is going to be paskening, he's going to be ruling like the more stringent of the two Tanaic opinions that we'll see. So now, just some words concerning the case of Yevomis. Of course, I'm sure most of you know that in the Torah, if you have, let's say, two brothers, and one of the brothers is married to a woman, and he dies. We'll call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven dies, leaving a widow, but having left no children. So Shimon, Reuven's surviving brother, is expected to marry her. That's called the levirate marriage, or Yevoma, Yibum. He's supposed to do Yibum. We will be featuring a case where you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. We have a little diagram on the side. Maybe it'll be helpful to some of you. We try to keep things abbreviated, so the names Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are abbreviated Reish, Shin, and Lamed. And we have also some numbers. The numbers will indicate the order of events. So in our story, Reuven, he is married to Leah. And Reuven, this first thing that happens in our story is Reuven dies. He leaves two brothers, not one like we said before. This case is where he leaves two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Leah happens to have a sister, and her name is Rachel. Leah and Rachel. At the point that Reuven dies, leaving two brothers, technically speaking, well, Shimon and Levi, they could marry her. And with that marriage, they fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum. Until that happens, though, so Leah is considered a candidate. She's called Zikuka. She's connected to Shimon and Levi. Now, before anyone did anything with Leah, Levi, in our story, Levi went ahead and did Kiddushin. Kiddushin is the first stage in a marriage where a man offers cash or cash value to a woman in anticipation of marrying her. And technically speaking, she's what we'll call partially married. It's before the consummation of the marriage through living together, through intimacy. So what happened here is that Levi, he was Mekadesh Leah's sister. He was Mekadesh Rachel. Now, just by way of general law is concerned, a man cannot marry two sisters. Now, Leah, with the death of Reuven, Leah is connected to Shimon and Levi. So in a certain level of thinking, Levi has a bond to Leah. So Levi having done Kiddushin with Rachel is actually quite a questionable thing. What would free Levi up to continue his marriage to Rachel? Now, what's the problem with Rachel? Just to repeat ourselves, Rachel is the sister of Leah. And Leah, at this point in time, is kind of connected to the surviving brothers. That's called Zika. So through the connection that she has, the taking of Rachel might resemble the sister of one's wife. And that's it's not an actual wife, but it resembles that situation because of the bond that exists between Leah and the surviving brothers-in-law. So, with that background, we now go to the source. Tisnan, Shomeres Yavam. In our case, that's the woman who was waiting for the Yavam, and in our story, we called her Leah. Shekidesh Ochives Achosa. The Yavam is the surviving brother. So his brother, we have Shimon and Levi. Levi was Mekadesh, her sister. He was Mekadesh Rachel. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omru. In the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it has been said, we tell Levi, Hamtain, do not consummate the marriage. Wait before taking her in. Ad shiase ochicha gadol maisa, until Shimon does something with regard to Leah. Shimon could marry Leah through the Yibum marriage, or he can free her through chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony. Once something of a Yibum nature is done with Leah, freeing her, either sending her free to marry someone else, or by Shimon's marrying her, then the mitzvah of Yibum has been taken care of, and Levi can proceed to marry Rachel completely, to consummate the marriage. Now this happens to be a ruling of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, which is kind of restrictive because the Chachomim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah. The Chachomim say that since Leah is not she's not Zekuka singularly to just Levi, but they're two brothers, so it's a very, to say what's a watered down, it's a very mild type of connection, and therefore Levi doesn't have to wait before taking in Rachel, and that would represent, of course, a lenient opinion. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, he represented a stricter opinion. Omar Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, and Shmuel rules like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseirah, the more restrictive opinion, even though he is a minority point of view, thereby justifying Rav Bevi's presentation of the machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, showing Shmuel to be more restrictive. We continue with a new topic. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Megillah Shos Yosel Metushtoshos. We'll be speaking about a Megillah which has rubbed out letters or missing letters. Tonu Rabbonon, Hishmit Bo Sofer. Hishmit is to leave out. So the Sofer, the scribe, he skipped things in writing the Megillah. Hishmit Bo Sofer Ois Yois Opsukin. He skipped letters or verses. The Koran HaKorei and the reader who was reading from that Megillah, what happened when he got to the missing words or the missing psukim? He read them by heart, just like when the Aramaic translation is recited, people knew that by heart. That would be recited by heart. So it's according to Rashi's approach to this source, it's just a simple way, or it's actually maybe a cumbersome way of saying that the reader read the skip parts by heart. And it says here, Yotza. So that what do we see in this source? We see a Megillah that's lacking, and the fact that it's lacking doesn't prevent the people from fulfilling their mitzvah, even though some parts are read al peh. Meisvei. Now we have a contradictory or contrary source. Hoyu ba oisios metushtoshois oi mikuros. A Megillah that had either dulled letters or rubbed out letters or torn letters, im rishumon nicker shera, if their impression is recognizable, then it's okay. V'im lav psula. Well, if it's not recognizable, it's basically saying it's not there. So here you have a Megillah that's missing words, missing letters, missing whatever, it's missing things, and it says here it's unfit. So, but the source just before said that it is fit. Lo kasha. Ha bekula, ha bemiktsasa. There's no contradiction here. If the entire Megillah has got these rubbed out letters that are not recognizable, so then it's not fit. If it's only partial, then it is fit. Before we go further, we have on the side, a topic heading, Shnei Dugmois Shechayev We'll see two examples here of the necessity of reading the Megillah in order, and not to, let's say, start from a latter point and then go back to make up the psukim from that you had not read from the beginning. Tanu Rabbanan, Hishmit bo hakorei posuk echad. Let us say the one who's reading the Megillah, he's reading and he left out a posuk. Lo yoimar, he should not say ekro es kula v'achakach oisoi posuk. I'm going to finish reading the rest and I'll go back and read the posuk that I skipped. That's not acceptable. Elo kore me oisei pasuk v'elech. If he feels that he skipped a pasuk, he has to go back to that point and read the Megillah from that pasuk onwards. Nifras abeis haknesses u'matzat sibor shekoru chetzion. A person walked into a shul and he discovered that the congregation already has read half of the Megillah. Lo yomar ekro chetzion matzibor. He should not say, well, I'll read the second half together with the congregation. V'achakach ekro chetzion, and then I'll go back and read the first half. Elo kore osa mitchilosa v'ad sofa. Rather, it is demanded of him that he reads from the beginning till the end, straight through, in order. Misnamnim yotza. Hechi domi misnamnim. The Mishnah says that if one was misnamnim, he is in fulfillment. So what is that state of being of misnamnim? Hechi domi misnamnim. Omer Ravashi, nim velo nim. He's sleeping, but not really sleeping. Tir velo tir. He's awake, but not really awake. De korule vioni. If you call him, he'll answer. Velo yoda la duri svora. But he's in a state of semi-awakeness that if you ask him something that requires analysis, he won't be able to respond. V'chimad kurule midkar. But if you, let us say, tell him something, in this state, and you remind him, he will be able to remember. Hoya kisva dorsha umagia. The Mishnah said he was writing a Megillah, or he was lecturing upon the Megillah, or he was checking a Megillah for mistakes. Im kibein livo yotze, if he concentrated and had intention for the mitzvah, so he fulfills his requirement. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances? You notice we have some triangles, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, shlavei birur, these are stages in clarifying beha dikotoni hoya kisva dorsha. What are the circumstances in this Mishnah? Idekal misader psuka psuka v'kasav law. If we're talking about someone who is reciting one pasuk by heart and then writing it, and then a second pasuk by heart and then writing it, well, how can he be yotzei with that? How can he fulfill his mitzvah that way? Ki kivei libo mayhave. By having intention to fulfill the mitzvah, how does that help him? Al pehu. In effect, he is reading it by heart. At the point that he's reading the posuk, it hasn't been written yet. So how can you say that that's the case of the Mishnah? Elo, rather, the kosa psuka psuka v'kori lay. Rather, what's the pshat? What's the explanation of the Mishnah? First, he writes the pasuk, and then he reads the pasuk that he wrote. So he starts with a blank piece of parchment, writes a pasuk, recites it, then writes a second pasuk and recites it. So maybe that's what it's talking about, that you're yotzei. The Gemara says that can't be. Umi yotza? Could a person fulfill a Megillah reading like that? Va'omar Rabbi Chelbo, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guya, Omar Rav, Halocha Kedivrei Omer Kula. There is a machlokis about how much of the Megillah one must read in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Purim. So Rav says that the halach is like the one who says that you have to read the entire Megillah. Even according to the opinion that says you don't have to read literally the whole Megillah, but you can read from, let's say, the second chapter of the Megillah onwards. Nevertheless, even according to that opinion, that you don't have to read the whole thing, you have to have an entire Megillah written out. You have to read from a complete Megillah's Esther scroll, even if you happen to be the opinion that says that you don't have to actually read the entire contents of the scroll. Nevertheless, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, you have to be reading from a completely written scroll. Therefore, the second triangle pshat doesn't work. Ella, what's the case of the Mishnah that says im kivei libo yotza? Ella demandcho Megillah kamei. He has a complete Megillah in front of him, and he is transferring, or he's copying from the complete Megillah onto a new Megillah. V'kori lo mino psuka psuka v'kos of law. He reads the pasuk in the original complete Megillah that he has, and then after reading from that Megillah, he writes the second Megillah, and he does this in a pasuk by pasuk fashion. So what we're saying that if you are copying over a Megillah from an original Megillah, and you have intention to fulfill the mitzvah while you are doing this, so you're yotzei. Lemo misayale l'rabo bar chano. Shall we say that the fact that we have to explain the Mishnah this way, namely that that the case is that he's writing a second Megillah from a pre-existing first Megillah, that this would support Rabba Barbachana, Diyoma Rabbachana Rabbi Yochanan, Osu Luchtoif, Oisachas Shalomina Ksav. He says that when you're writing over something from the scriptures, when you're preparing a scroll like a Chumash or Nevi'im or Ksuvim, you cannot write a scroll by heart. In other words, you have to be looking at a pre-existing copy when you are writing a new copy. So by the fact that we had to explain the Mishnah in this way, it would seem to support his halacha. The Gemara says no. Dilma disrami le asremuye. Maybe if you want to write, let us say, a Torah scroll, go ahead and write it. If you know it by heart, go ahead and write it by heart. In order to explain the Mishnah, we explained a case where someone happened to be transferring from a pre-existing Megillah, but not that that's a binding factor when you are writing a Megillah. That simply means it happened by chance that someone was copying over a Megillah. So if someone happens to be copying over a Megillah and he has kavona to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah while he's copying over the Megillah, he is yotzei. But once again, not by virtue of the fact that we're not saying that this Mishnah says that whenever you write a Megillah or any other sefer, you have to do it from a pre-existing work. Now the Gemara focuses on Rabbo Bar Chana's halacha, and on the side we have as a topic heading Ksivas Sefer Shelo Min Haksav, meaning Kosev Al Peh. This idea of writing over holy writings by heart. Gufa, Omar Rabbo Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, Osir Lichtoiv Ois Achas Shelo Min Haksav. It is forbidden to write even one letter from other than from copying over from a pre-existing work. Meisvei, we challenge this. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elozar, Meisav Rabbi Meir Shoholach le'aber shona ba'asya. There was an incident where Rabbi Meir went to make calculations concerning the need for extending a year. He went to a place called Asya, v'lohoyasham Megillah, and he didn't have a Megillah. And like these calculations that he went to make, we're talking about a time, let's just assume around, during the month of Adar, and Purim came, and he didn't have a Megillah, v'kosva milibo v'kara. And he wrote out a Megillah by heart. You can imagine this quite a tremendous memory on the part of Rebbe Meir. He wrote it out by heart and read from that. So what do we see? We see that the writing over of a Megillah doesn't need to be from a pre-existing work. Omer Rabbi Avo, Shiny Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is not an example. He is different. To Mekayim Bey, Ve'afo Pecho, Yashiru Negdecha. Which, for our purposes, means that that the Torah, which we'll see later in the Gemara, explains this, that for others might flutter away, by Rebbe Meir, it was like straight, we call this a photographic memory. It was a negdech, it was in front of him, even though it wasn't physically there. Omar le Rami Bar Chama, the Rebbe Yirmiyahu Midifti. Rami Bar Chama asks, "My v'afapecha yaishiru negdecha?" Omar lo, so Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti answers, Elu Divrei Torah, the Pasuk is referring to Torah learning. Dechtiv Behu, regarding Torah, it says, Hata'ifa Einecha Bo V'Einenu, that if you turn your eye away from it, In other words, you ta'ifas, you close your eyelids. In other words, you even momentarily stop Torah learning. It becomes forgotten from you. That's ha-ta'if einecho bo v'einenu. Torah has a what we might term a built-in forget mechanism. And that basically is to encourage everyone to be constantly involved with Torah study, realizing that if one turns his mind away from Torah, he's inviting forgetfulness. As Rashi says, "Harehu mishtakachas mimcho keherifayim," like the blink of an eye, you forget what you learned. Ve'afilu hachi, even so, even though that's the nature of Torah learning, miushorin hein etzo Rebbe Meir. With regard to Rebbe Meir, he had the gift of a phenomenal memory, and by him, it was always clear to him, was always straight, and as if it was written out in front of him. So that when you read the pasuk, just the line before, V'afal pecha, that's in general, Torah learning, which is something that when just by closing your eyes, you would forget it, Yaishiru negdecha, with regard to Rebbe Meir, it was always in front of him. Rav Chisda Ashkeche, the Rav Hananel, to have a Kosav Sforim Shalom in Aksav. Rav Chisda met up with Rav Hananel, who was writing holy works by heart. Omar Lei, so Rav Chisda said, Kol HaTorah Kulo Likosev, Ru'uya Kol HaTorah Kulo Likosev Al Picha. It is fit for the entire Torah to be written by you by heart. Elo Kachom Ruchachomim. It is forbidden to write anything, write the written Torah, the Tanakh. It's also to write it by heart. You have to write it from a pre-existing work. You have to transfer over from a pre-existing work. From the fact that Rav Chisda said to Rav Hananel that in theory it's fit for the whole Torah to be written by you by heart. So it must be that he had this photographic type memory, that it was all clear to him even without a pre-existing work. And yet, even though Rav Hananel had achieved that level of memory, it was usur for him to do it. Ah, the whole Rebbe Meir kosav, but how do you resolve that with the fact that Rebbe Meir did do it, al peh, shalom in aksav? So what is Rav Chisda's, why is Rav Chisda raising an objection to Rav Hananel's practice when we saw that if someone is miyushorin hein etzlo, if it's clear to him, he is allowed to do it, as we saw in the form of Rebbe Meir? The Gemara says, Shas hadchak shiny. The case with Rebbe Meir was pressing circumstances. He had no other option. So where you have no other option, and you happen to have a photographic type memory, so you can do it shalom in aksav. However, Rav Hananel was not under extenuating circumstances. That was his practice. And regarding that, even if it's so clear to you, you do not have a right to do that, as Rav Chisda explained. Abaye shora lidebe bar chavu. Abaye allowed the be bar chavu. Now be bar chavu, Rashi says mocher tefillin have. Bar chavu was a tefillin merchant. He sold tefillin. It seems that not only did he sell, he prepared the tefillin, he wrote the tefillin, and he sold them. So Abaye allowed lidebe bar chavu lemichtav. Tefillin u'mezuzos shelo min aksav, that they can prepare tefillin, write tefillin and mezuzos, even though they're doing it by heart. In other words, shelo min aksav, without having a pre-existing tefillin or mezuzos in front of them, or some other written parshios in front of them. Keman, based on whom is Abaye's heter? Ki hai tano desanya, like is found in the following Tanaic source. Rabbi Yirmir Omar Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yirmir says in the name of Rabbeinu, Tefillin u'mezuzos nichtavos shalom in aksav, v'ein tzrichos sirtut. So here's a source that even though we said before that all holy writings must be done from copying over from a pre-existing source, when it comes to tefillin and mezuzos, so this opinion says they can be done by heart. You don't have to have pre-existing lining, etched lines on the parchment. The sirtut is a case where straight lines are etched on the parchment, and those etched lines represent the straight lines will represent the tops of the letters. Instead of, we'll say, underlining, we can call it overlining, so that you would have this. There's a, and this you do find by a Sefer Torah where there are etched straight lines, and they are used for making sure the lines are straight, even though that might not be the actual explanation, but that's what it serves to do. The Hilchasa Tefillin ain't Srichen Sirtut. The Gemara itself rules that with regard to Tefillin, they don't require this line etchings, the line etching in the parchment, and Mezuzos Srichen Sirtut. But Mezuzos do require that. And you can see that these are halachas that go beyond the simple explanation. They're more an oral tradition. Edi v'edi, both tefillin and mezuzos, nichtavos shelo minaksav, can be written by heart. My time, why is that the case? Migras grisin. They are well known by all. Rashi says, shruos v'fikol, everyone has fluency in those parshios. While the mezuzos, that's absolutely clear. That's a reference to the first two paragraphs of Shema. We call that Shema v'hoyim Shema. But it's interesting with regard to Tefillin, there are two more parshios that we don't recite all the time, but they are also there. And yet the Torah says that they can also be the Gemara. That is, rules that they can also be done baal peh because people have fluency in them. What the Gemara does here in explaining the Mishnah listed a number of different writing materials. When we speak about writing materials, we refer to the, I'm afraid to use the word ink, because there's something called, we'll call it official ink, that we refer to by the Hebrew term dio, and there are other ink-like substances. And the Mishnah said that all kinds of substances are not acceptable, and with the exception of dio. And what we see here, what the Gemara does is it gives an Aramaic word, something that was familiar to the people of the time of the Gemara, to explain the words of the Mishnah. For us, on a halacha lemaisa level, so you'd have to research what these Aramaic words really mean. In a number of cases, you'll notice Rashi either tries to give a description or he will use a French word here and there. So the Gemara says, sam, which was in the Mishnah, equals samo. Samo is what in the time of the Gemara, they knew what that was. Rashi, as we said, he gives a French word for that. The next word in the Mishnah, sikra, omar rabba babarchana, sakrisa shma. It is known as sakrisa. Its name is sakrisa. Rashi says it is a red dye. Kumus is kuma. Rashi says, Sraf Elon, it's a tree sap. We continue at the top of Daf Yutes. Kan Kantom, which the Mishnah said is not acceptable, is Harsa de Ushkafi. Rashi says, Sam Shet Soivin Boy Min Olam Shchurim. It's a type of dye used for dyeing shoes black. Now we have a semicolon here because what we continue with now are not types of ink, but rather materials upon which the writing would take place. Diftera equals demaliach v'kamiach v'lo ofitz. It's skin from an animal that has been salted. It's been treated with kamiach. Rashi says kamiach b'mayim. It's another level of treatment of skin before it's made into parchment. However, velo ofitz, it wasn't treated with afotzim. Afotzim is a type of chemical. Rashi refers to it with a French word, and that is not acceptable. And niyar also is not acceptable. And what is niyar? Machka. Rashi says on machka min asovim osui al dei devek. It's some type of maybe what we would call papyrus. It's grasses that are joined together with some type of glue and made into some kind of writing material. But it's not suitable for the Megillah, as the Mishnah said, that it's not kosher until the ink that you use is dyo, the formal ink, and apparently the Shas knew what that is made of. We don't see the ingredients that were used to make the formal ink, but dyo, and it has to be written al-klaf. Klaf is a reference to fully manufactured parchment that's gone through all of the stages, some of which, as we mentioned, Meliach, Kamiach, and Ofitz, it was treated with all the stages and then made into formal parchment. The Mishnah said, Ach Tek Suva Ashuris. The Megillah is not kosher unless it's written Ashuris, which means Hebrew letters that we are familiar with. And that's called Ksav Ashuris. And why is that? Dichtiv Kiksavam Uchizmanom. As it is. Al HaSefer Ubidyo Menolan. From where do we know that in order for the Megillah to be kosher, it has to be written on Sefer with Klaf, which is parchment, and with the Dio ink. From where do we know this? Menolon, Asya, Ksivo, Ksivo. We know this through a word comparison. Ksiv Hocha, it says here regarding the Megillah, Vatichtov Esther Hamalka. We notice the markings. We dash the line Vatichtov, Uksiv Hosam, and it says in Sefer Yirmiyah, Vayomer Lehem Boruch, Mipiv Yikro Eli, Eskol Hadvorim Ho'ele, Vani Koisev. Again, we dash the line Koisev. Al HaSefer Bidyo. So when you see the word Koisev, like Vatichtov, you know that it includes Sefer and Yo. As in this Pasuk in Yirmiyah, you have together with Kosev, Sefer, which is parchment, and Yo is the formal ink. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.